السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين I say
Azul states, the ijtimaas of Lajna-e-Maila and Majlis in Sarla begin from today. The real spirit of our ijtimaas, which we should aim to strive for, is to increase our relationship with God the Almighty and strengthen our ties with one another. One should approach the academic competitions with the mentality that he or she will adopt in their lives whatever they learn from them. The reason why there are sporting events is because having a healthy body is imperative to fulfill the rights due to Allah and His creation. Otherwise, the age of Ansarullah is not one where one plays sports, and neither are women generally all that keen in sports after the age of 22 or 23. Hence, the purpose of the sporting events is for all to remain focused on their physical well-being. This is not only for those taking part in these competitions, but rather others as well should at least do light exercise or do walks to keep themselves fit. In any case, the real objective of these ijtimaas is to activate our religious and intellectual faculties. Sadr Sahib Majlis Ansarullah requested me to address the Ansar in the Friday's sermon. The age of Ansarullah is one in which a person develops a mature way of thinking and should realize what his responsibilities are and give attention to fulfilling them. Both being of a mature age and also the name of this organization being Majlis Ansarullah should be sufficient for every male Ahmadi over the age of 40 to understand their duties. What What are these responsibilities which every Nasir, member of Ansarullah, should fulfill? This has been entailed in a nutshell in the pledge of Ansarullah. The first is that every Nasir, every member of Majlis Ansarullah, should strive with heartfelt sincerity to strengthen Islam and to adopt Ahmadiyyat. Strengthening Islam is not possible through one's knowledge and might. Islam is a religion established by God, and its teachings are perfect and complete. Thus, no human can strengthen Islam. But indeed, a person needs to strive to develop a strong connection with Islam so that he can become a firm part of this perfect religion. This is impossible to achieve without forming a strong relationship with Allah the Almighty. Every Ahmadi should strive to attain this. And the standards set by Ansarullah should be the highest. One cannot perfect their connection with God the Almighty until they develop a bond with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Allah the Almighty himself has directed us and drawn our attention to sending durood and salam, invoking blessings and salutations on the Holy Prophet. This is a very crucial matter. Then there is fulfilling the right of entering the bayt, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We will only truly and sincerely be established in Ahmadiyyat when we fulfill this right. Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in this era to complete the mission of the propagation and dissemination of the religion. We will prove ourselves to be truly devoted Ahmadis with all our heart only when we prove ourselves to be Ansarullah, i.e. helpers of Allah, and play our full roles in helping spread and propagate Islam. And so this entails one responsibility. Then you, the Ansar, have also said in your pledge, which in other words is that you have promised to fulfill the responsibility of striving to form a bond of loyalty with Khilafat and doing everything to safeguard and protect it. How can this be achieved? This will be achieved when Ansar become helpers in the works and projects of Khilafat. And this is only possible if the Ansar remain attentive on the guidance of the Khalifa of the time. In this age, Allah the Almighty has rewarded us with the blessings of MTA, through which even people far away can listen to the words of the Khalifa. Thus, everyone in Ansarullah needs to attach themselves to this. Similarly, you have also pledged that you will connect your children and progeny with Khilafat. And so this is also a means through which you can link your children with Khilafat, in addition to other means of tarbiyat. When you do this, generation after generation will continue to be born who are firmly loyal. Thus, the work of serving and disseminating the religion continues forever. The work of spreading Islam in accordance with the Promised Messiah's announcements was destined to continue after him through the second manifestation of God's power, in other words, the institution of Khilafat. You have made a pledge to make every possible sacrifice. Therefore, you should remind yourselves of this promise. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to do so. As I have mentioned, the Ijtima of Lajna-e-Maila is also taking place. Lajna-e-Maila also have a pledge, which they should always keep in view. It is an immense favor of Allah the Almighty that, mashallah, the majority of Lajna-e-Maila are firmly established on their faith. Most Lajna strongly believe in their religion. However, every member of Lajna and every Ahmadi woman need to elevate their practical state to the standard instructed by Allah the Almighty and His Messenger. As I said, Lajna-e-Maila also have a pledge, which they reiterate at their functions and ijtimas. And that is that they will be ever ready to make every sacrifice for their faith. The first sacrifice required by the religion is to push behind all worldly desires and instead develop one's practical state according to the teachings of the religion. An Ahmadi woman should demonstrate the highest standards of honesty and truthfulness. Then, she should also strive to act upon the commands relating to women. Parda, i.e. covering, plays a huge role in the command of Allah the Almighty for a woman to safeguard her chastity and honor. Any Ahmadi woman who shows weakness in this would be, practically speaking, not fulfilling her pledge. Neither should fear of the society nor one's materialistic desires move one away from her religion. Rather, every Ahmadi woman should form her practical state in accordance with the teachings of Allah the Almighty. Then you make a pledge to always adhere to truthfulness. Everyone needs to assess their standard in this respect, that are we adhering to the true spirit of honesty or not? Then there is a pledge of tarbiyat of your children and progeny, which women should strive to their level best to fulfill this and see whether their offspring are attached to the religion or not. The best source of tarbiyat for the children is the mother, and so mothers must make their maximum efforts towards this. If all our women fulfill this responsibility, in fact, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu said, even if 50% do so, then they will become the guarantor of safeguarding the future generations and adorning their faith and connecting them with God the Almighty. It is also the duty of mothers to instill in their children the passion to make sacrifices for the sake of their country, and they also make a pledge, as this is part of it. It is the responsibility of mothers to ensure their children are absolutely abiding by the law of the land. It is the duty of mothers to teach their children to distinguish between good and bad. And it is the duty of mothers to draw the attention of their children to play their roles towards aiding the progress of their nation. As it is the responsibility of fathers, so too it is the responsibility of mothers to strive to connect their children with Khilafat. Thus, every mother should understand this vital obligation. May Allah the Almighty enable them to do so. Similarly, The Ijtima for Nasrat al-Ahmadiyya is also being held along with the Lajna. Nasrat also take the oath. They should also fulfill their oaths. The age of 14 and 15 is a sensible age. One can understand the difference between good and bad in this age. And this is the last age group for Nasrat. And it is in this age in which one has many desires. If someone has a worldly focus, then worldly desires dominate one's faith. For this reason, every Ahmadi girl needs to be very careful, and there is a need for them to repeat their oaths constantly, so that every Ahmadi girl is striving to achieve higher objectives instead of following vain worldly desires. And those higher objectives have been mentioned in the oath of Nasrat. They are as follows: that one should always be ready to serve one's faith, nation, and country. Always stay steadfast on truthfulness. Be ready to offer any sacrifice for Khilafat Ahmadiyya. Hence, if our girls make this oath a part of their lives, then they will save their lives and they will be the ones to save the lives of future generations as well. And they will be the ones to attach them to Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty enable them to do so. And may He bless these gatherings that are currently taking place in every respect. After this brief mention in reference to the Ijtima, I will now like to mention about a beloved dear one who departed from amongst us a few days ago. A few weeks ago, a dear one was separated from us due to an accident. And a few days ago, another very beloved student, a young man who had almost completed his Jamia studies, passed away after being sick for some time. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. The name of the youth I'm referring to is Mazhar Ahsan. He did not appear in the examination for the final year due to his illness. However, the way this beloved youth spent his life, he was a missionary and a teacher, irrespective of the fact whether he passed his exams or not. Allah the Almighty had generated a passion within this young man about how to serve his religion, how he has to mold his morals and his conditions according to the commandments of Allah the Almighty, and how he has to act accordingly. Every person who comes into this world has to depart from it eventually. However, fortunate are those who strive to mold their lives according to the will of Allah the Almighty and are successful in doing so. Students from Jamia Ahmadiyya, his friends and teachers are writing to me about this beloved person. And this is not only a formality that someone has passed away and people tend to mention good things about him. Rather, I personally know that he was a model of sincerity, loyalty, and actions. May Allah the Almighty continue to exalt his status. The beloved deceased was the only son of his parents. His parents, particularly his mother, has shown an excellent model of patience and staying content in the will of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty reward them, and may He continue to increase them in patience. May He provide the means of tranquility and patience. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated in one place that, remember, there is no treatment that provides tranquility and comfort for the wound caused by a trial such as trust in Allah the Almighty. Therefore, one should always have trust in Allah the Almighty alone. The beloved deceased passed away whilst advising others about patience and courage. It is natural to feel grief and pain. Parents and siblings feel this the most. However, we can mold this grief and pain into prayers and make it a source to elevate the ranks of the deceased and patience and tranquility for ourselves. May Allah the Almighty enable His near ones to do so. I will now mention some further details. This youth had cancer and it was cured after treatment by the grace of Allah the Almighty. However, later on, such an infection in the chest was developed that could not be detected by the doctors and caused his death. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. The paternal great-grandfather of deceased, Hazrat Mistri Nizamuddin Sahib, was a companion of the Prophet Messiah, and his maternal grandfather, respected Chaudhary Munawwar Ali Khan Sahib, and paternal grandfather Haji Manzoor Ahmed Sahib, were both amongst the Darveshane Qadian. This youth was a student of Jamia Ahmadiyya. As I mentioned before, he was also his mother states, and I will mention some things briefly, because some longer details include certain emotional incidents which might be difficult to narrate. However, I will mention some briefly. His mother says that he was the one to advise me, he was the one whom I would share my secrets with, and he was the one who would educate me like a teacher. Along with the relationship of a mother and son, we had a unique understanding. He understood me well, and I understood him well. He knew well all those things which made me happy, and those that I dislike. She says, he would often speak to me about the system of Khilafat, Khalifa of the time, Jamaat, and most of all about the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions, and the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet, the Promised Messiah. And these were the topics that he liked to discuss. If some worldly things were discussed, after a while he would say, forget about these things. What do we have to do with such things? It was his desire to attend the Jalsa Salana UK this year. However, he realized that it will be difficult for him to do so. So he thought it was appropriate for him to listen to Jalsa on MTA, and he sent all his family members, saying, you all should go, I will listen to it from here, do not worry, I will manage it. He was in Glasgow. In this manner, he sent his family members to attend the Jalsa despite his sickness. He had the habit of doing all his chores himself. And she says, he developed even more maturity and tenderness in his disposition during the course of his sickness. Anger and irritation was never seen in his nature. When he was cured from his first sickness, blood cancer, as I mentioned, he was still weak. But he requested Amir Sahib of Scotland to please make him do some Jamaat work, and then started to work on a newsletter there. He would also stay in touch with other workers and would advise them on how to work. Similarly, he designed the certificates for an ijtima of the Nasrat and Lajna in Scotland. He would study the books of the Prophet Messiah regularly. She says that on 12th of September, when the second infection worsened, she says that perhaps it was during these days, he called me and said, come and sit next to me. Then he said, count the blessings of Allah the Almighty on your fingers. And then he started counting the blessings of Allah, the Almighty. Then he said, count some more blessings. She says, I replied, that there are so many blessings of Allah the Almighty that I cannot count them all. Upon that, Mazhar said, that is what I wanted to tell you, that always remember Allah the Almighty's blessings and favors and be grateful to Him in all circumstances. She says, I could not understand at the time what Mazhar was alluding to. However, he was preparing her mentally for this. She says, when the Tabshir guests came to visit Scotland, Raja Burhan Ahmed Sahib was in charge of the last group that arrived. He met Mazhar and was very happy to see that his health had improved. She said that she explained to him, Rabbi Sahib, Mazhar has a great passion to serve the Jamaat. He is always planning that in the future he shall make such and such plans when he qualifies as a missionary. He will work in such and such a way. When his cancer was diagnosed in October 2015, he told his sister to be very careful when informing their mother, as he could not see her crying. While in the hospital, he would offer his prayers, recite the Holy Quran, and listen to the sermons of the MTA. And through online programs, he would also listen to nazms and view images. He would also speak to his class fellows and teachers. Right until the end, he remained engaged in tabligh, preaching with the doctors and nurses. He always got his treatment done while seated, and he would do tabligh to the doctors with reference to the peace conference, the annual convention, and the various other activities of the Jamaat. After the annual convention here, there is a meeting for the missionaries. And since his class had graduated from Jamia, therefore they were also part of the meeting. He wrote to them, or perhaps sent a message to them, to send him all the points of the meeting, so that he too could make them a part of his life, as he himself was unable to attend. He had an immense love for Khilafat. When he learnt of the news about Reza's sudden demise, his mother says that it was the first time she saw him cry in this way. She says, I initially became a little apprehensive. But in fact, he was worried that due to such a sudden demise, it would be a cause of great sorrow for his parents and also for the Khalifa of the time. She further says, we are happy with our Lord. These matters are all in the hand of God, and He knows best. Our duty is to pray, and it is up to God whether He accepts them or not. She also says, while departing from us, Mazhar brought about a reformation in us. On the morning of 13th of September, the day of Eid, Mazhar had a very serious cough and told me to prepare a kahwa, a herbal tea, and went to lay on his bed. When I went to him, he had a very high temperature and the ambulance was called. However, while leaving with the ambulance, he said again, it is Eid, so you all should go to offer the Eid prayer and there is no need to come to the hospital with me. I will call you later on from my phone and I will also listen to the Eid sermons from my phone. Even during his illness, he made sure to take care of such matters. Mother's demise took place in the early hours of the morning. Mother had a very melodious voice, and his sister had recorded the azan, the call to prayer, in his voice on the phone, as an alarm for the Fajr prayers or Tahajjud, voluntary pre-dawn prayers. She says that when he was taking his last breath and the time of his demise was nearing, suddenly the azan in his voice began to play on the phone, which made them even more emotional. However, this was the will of Allah the Almighty ultimately. Numerous accounts have been written. When he found out about his cancer, his sister Ruba says that he told me, "I can tolerate everything, but I can never see my mother cry. Therefore, be extremely careful while disclosing this news to her." He underwent a bone marrow treatment, and his sister's bone marrow matched with his, which was then given to him. However, even the doctors were astonished, as they had initially said that this could not happen. But nevertheless, it matched, and due to this, God Almighty granted him health. But in any case, this was the final decree of God. He continued to do tabligh even during his chemotherapy. He had a lot of trust in God the Almighty and was not even the slightest worried. He would also say that God will never waste him. However, God Almighty has taken him from here, and we hope that inshallah, God willing, all his wishes are being fulfilled in the next life.
Dr. Hafeez Sahib says that I have
Dr. Hafeez Sahib says, "I went to meet Mother in Glasgow after he had been diagnosed with cancer. I found him to be a person who had great trust in God. His mother said that he always says that we should continue to remember the favors of God Almighty." Benazir Rafi Sahiba from Glasgow says that she is originally from Sri Lanka and is very close friends with Mother's mother and her daughters. After being diagnosed with cancer, she further got to know about their family. When she went to visit him in hospital, he told her about his illness with great calmness and control. After he recovered from his illness, there was a period in between where his health had improved. There was a 5-kilometer charity walk that was organized in Glasgow, which he took part in. He said that it was very easy and that he had completed it with great ease, even though he had just come out of a long illness, and the chemotherapy itself was also a very painful process. Hafiz Fazlur Rabi Sahib says he had immense passion for learning the Holy Quran, and he would recite the Holy Quran in a very beautiful and melodious voice. Even before coming to Jamia, he and along with his family would come from Glasgow to London to partake in national Talim al Quran classes. He further adds, they encountered some issues with their immigration, and their case for immigration had not been passed yet. And so while studying in Jamia, he would have to go from London back to Glasgow after every 2 weeks. I asked that you must experience a lot of difficulties as a result of this, but he replied, that such small difficulties have no significance when trying to achieve a grand objective. Another teacher of Jamia Ahmadiyya, Wasim Fazal Sahib, says, Mazhar Asan was a student who was very courageous, disciplined and respectful and had a controlled temperament. He was counted among a select few students who would fulfill their duty with great responsibility, sincerity, loyalty, love and effort. He was excellent in administrative works. He further adds, he had the opportunity to serve for many years as prefect in our hostel administration. On one occasion, when a very important task was being assigned to him, someone asked whether he would be capable of fulfilling this task. At the time, one of the teachers commenting about Mazhar said that once a duty has been assigned to him, we then have to hide from Mazhar as he commits to his duty, showing even greater concern, seriousness and discipline than us. His administrative qualities and passion are evident from the following account, where he says, a few years back, during the annual sports competition in Jamia, he was assigned a duty in the hospitality department. Many guests are in attendance on the last day of the annual sports, and arrangements are made for lunch. On this occasion, Mazhar stayed up all night and performed his duty with great energy and did not take a break for even one moment. The next day, he remained occupied in his duty with the same level of passion. After the event had finished, he compiled a very detailed and comprehensive report, which even now is present with the administration and is proving to be a great help to this department. Hafiz Mashood Ahmed Sahib says, sometime before, when I spoke with him over the phone, he expressed his desire to serve the faith as a missionary as soon as he was recovered from his illness. He also mentioned that since his treatment was ongoing, he has started work in his local Jamaat. At another instance, he mentioned that he would take part in the 5-kilometer charity walk that was to take place in Glasgow, as I mentioned about this earlier. One of the missionaries who has served there is Malik Akram Sahib. He writes, when Mazhar Asan Sahib's family moved from Dubai, I was serving as a missionary for Glasgow. The day their family arrived, coincidentally, there was a function taking place at the mosque, and his family also joined in. After meeting everyone and greeting us, Mazhar Asan went straight into the kitchen and helped with the food distribution team with diligence and determination. From the very first day, right up until he entered Jamia Ahmadiyya, he served the mosque and the Jamaat with all his might. He was a quiet boy, but had a very sophisticated nature and was pure through and through. He would never spend time in idle talk nor waste his time. He knew how to utilize his time correctly. Since I was the missionary of the area, he was very close to me and had the opportunity to observe him closely. He was a man of outstanding morals. He was very soft-spoken and a youth who would respect everyone. He had a burning desire and passion for his waqf, his devotion to be accepted, and for him to gain religious knowledge through Jamia Ahmadiyya, then serve the community as a missionary. The day he gained admission to Jamia Ahmadiyya, he was so happy as if he had received all the luxuries in the world. He had a burning love for Khilafat. The guide, the youth leader of Glasgow, Mr. Arshad Mahmood Sahib, writes that he was elected as guide of Sharjah. He was previously living in Sharjah, and that is where Mazhar Asan was living at the time. He writes that during their stay in Sharjah, Mazhar would actively partake in all Jamaat activities, such as the ishtamas, in academic competitions, as well as sporting events. He states that as the location of the events were out of the main town, it required them to travel beforehand in order to set up and make appropriate arrangements for the events. Despite his young age, he would be in the forefront of all activities. He was very brave in all matters. He states on one particular occasion during the ishtama, the extempore speech competition took place. Since the topic was challenging and the competition overall was a challenge in itself, nor was he prepared for it, yet mother still took part. The Khudam who were listening to the speech began to laugh. However, Mazhar Hasan continued to deliver his speech in whichever manner he could and was not bothered by anything. He stated that if he continued to hesitate, he would not benefit. That is the only way to develop one's confidence. And Mazhar went on to say that the Khudam should become serious in these matters. He did not take any notice whether people were laughing or not. He said there was only one way of building one's confidence, and that is to continue to speak in whichever manner one has the ability. One of our missionaries from the Gambia, Abdurrahman Cham, who graduated from Jamia last year, states, "During the course of Jamia, I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time together with this brother of ours. After completing Jamia, I was in contact with him through WhatsApp. I would like to present those messages that our dear brother sent after his diagnosis. In one of them, he states, 'Indeed, I am currently suffering from this illness. However, the truth of the matter is that God Almighty has been benevolent upon me. As a result of this, I should be grateful to my Lord, and for this reason, I do not find it difficult to endure this pain.' In a different message, he states, 'I am not thinking about this illness. Rather, I am focusing on my goal, and that is how to serve the Jamaat in the best manner possible.' One of the missionaries, Sheikh Samar, who was his class fellow, states, 'He would always smile and keep others happy. Mazhar would treat everyone in the same manner, in that he would make the other feel that he is their best friend, and would never allow anyone to feel indifferent or any sort of distance, or that they were not dear to him. He never quarreled with anyone and had a big heart. He would be ever ready to spread the message and would never allow an opportunity to pass. Even in the hospital, he was famous as being the Muslim who preaches to everyone. No one suffered as a result of him, nor did he ever utter anything against anyone. He would help others as much as he possibly could. He would care for even the smallest of things and would stay with everyone in a loving and peaceful manner." Another missionary, Sahil Mahmood, who was also his class fellow, says, "I had the opportunity to stay with such a great personality for 7 years. He had abundant qualities about him, which are found in few people. He was very hospitable, an example of humbleness and humility, and would always think positively about everyone and with a virtuous intention. From early on in Jamia, he was made a prefect. One of the roles of a prefect is to ensure lights out and that the students sleep on time, as well as waking everyone up for prayers and cleanliness of the room. Similarly, putting an end to any dispute if it breaks out were all amongst his responsibilities. He would stop his fellow students, and in return, they would sometimes mock him for it, and we would enjoy annoying him. On one occasion, I made a mistake for which he disciplined me. A few minutes later, he came to me and sought forgiveness and then began to cry. He had the softest of hearts." He says, "Whenever I was ill or not feeling well, and if I were lying in bed, he would place breakfast on my table before I even awoke. If I was suffering from the flu, without even asking, he would bring warm water with honey. He would always listen intently to the meetings I had with Hazur. He further says, "He was a lively personality, sincere, humble, pious, a true soldier of the faith, a model of righteousness and hard working. These are all the words that describe Mazhar Hasan. Another attribute of his was that whatever he liked for himself, he would get for his friends. Whatever food or drink items he would get for himself, he would also get them for his friends. He led a simple life and never spent extravagantly. In such a youthful age, people sometimes spend excessively. He was very particular in his cleanliness. and regularly offered his prayers, especially the Tahajjud prayer. He would always wake me up as well. His class fellows say that he kept a prayer mat in the room, and many times I saw that he would awake in the night and offer voluntary prayers. He would observe the voluntary fast without fail, and would always ensure that he paid his due chanda. He kept everything in order and distributed his time wisely. Aside from the daily lessons in Jamia, it was his routine to recite the Quran on a daily basis and then read the literature of the Jamaat. Then, despite any weather conditions, he would always exercise. He would read the newspaper regularly, and in the afternoon he would rest, even if it were for a matter of minutes. And before going to bed, he would regularly write his diary. These were his attributes. In addition, he would always take notes of the Friday sermon and discuss the points of the Friday sermon amongst his friends. They, i.e. his friends, say he was a true devotee of Khilafat Ahmadiyya and the Ahmadiyya community. He would never entertain any discourse against the Khalifa or the administration of the community. He would be ready to answer any calling and remind others to do so. He would consider himself a sergeant of the Khalifa of the time, and indeed, he was just that. He would often say that he was ready to sacrifice his life for the Khalifa of the time. And they were not just mere words, but his emotions showed that he was one who would carry that through. When he was diagnosed with cancer, his friends say that he gave them courage and told them not to worry and submit before God. He had a firm belief and trust in God Almighty. He accepted his illness to be a trial upon himself and never demonstrated any sort of pain or worry before anyone. His missionary friend, Sheikh Shirjil, writes, "He was a friend with the most outstanding morals. He had many qualities. He was very considerate and had a true understanding of the status of Khilafat. He had a firm trust and belief in God Almighty. He was such a person that would sacrifice his everything for the sake of the community and was fanatical in his dedication. He would never harm anyone, nor give anyone any sort of pain. He would always smile, no matter how much anybody would annoy him. He would never get angry and never be enraged. He would refrain from idle talk and avoid futile discourses. To this day, we never heard him use foul or obscene language. He was ever ready to carry out any work with great patience and courage, then would complete it with full dedication, determination, and dutifully. He never deemed any work to be insignificant. He would help everyone. There was not even an ounce of laziness in him. He had a lot of love for Jamia and an even greater amount of willpower. Despite his illness, he never gave up, and even in his last days, he endured his illness with great courage." He further says, "He, i.e. Mazhar, never mocked anyone. In fact, he stopped others from doing so. He had those qualities which should be found in a missionary." His friends say that he was a complete missionary since Mamahda, i.e. the first year of Jamia, and would adopt the finer subtleties of righteousness. He cared for the smallest of details. On one occasion he said, "Since my beard trimmer is quite loud, therefore I will not use it when people are sleeping." He had no pretentiousness in him. Whatever his outer appearance was, his inner self was the same. His actions were in harmony with his words. He would obey the commandments of the Holy Quran. His notes were very good, but he would regularly take notes of the translation of the Holy Quran. For this reason, his translation of the Quran was very good. One Jamia student who has graduated, Afaq, joined Jamia here when he moved from Pakistan. Initially, he studied for a few years in Jamia, Pakistan. Then, when his parents migrated here, he also came here. He said, "People came to meet me, and Mazhar was among them. He left after 2 minutes, and then returned carrying pillow and sheets. He said to me, "Since you did not bring these things with you, therefore I have brought them, as you will be in need of them." He writes, 3 months ago when our class went to Scotland to visit our dear brother, he looked extremely happy. When we visited him at his home, he had prepared a full meal and forced us to eat something or another. Nevertheless, he was a very noble person and one who understood the spirit of devotion. Even though God Almighty did not grant him much time, he passed away at the age of 26. Nevertheless, wherever he had the opportunity to educate his friends, he did so. Wherever he had the opportunity to spread the message, he did so, and did so fully. Even up until his last days, he had written something in front of him, so that every passing doctor or nurse could read it. The 2 or 3 times I spoke with him on the phone whilst he was in the hospital, as well as at his home, he would reply with great bravery. In fact, on one occasion, his mother mentioned that due to the medications of the treatment, he has blisters in his mouth and is unable to speak properly. However, when he spoke with me, he spoke perfectly well. I told him that he should take some rest, but with great sincerity and loyalty, he replied that now my blisters are not troubling me at all, and that God has shown His mercy. And after that, his blisters also healed. He was an extremely dedicated Ahmadi youth and one that understood the purpose of his creation. May Allah constantly shower his mercy upon him and elevate his status. I always found him to be content upon God's will. May God Almighty grant him a place in the company of God's loved ones. And may thousands of more devotees come into this world who understand their purpose in the most subtlest of manners. Pray especially for his parents and his sisters. May God Almighty increase them in their patience and courage.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله
ابھی نماز جمعہ کے بعد میں ان کا نماز جنازہ بھی پڑھاؤں گا حاضر ہے میں نیچے جاؤں گا اب آپ یہیں صفیں درست رکھیں کر لیں
عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر